Biggest names in the business are on You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Femi Abebefe.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
The great Iron Eagle.
Nick and Femi are such close friends. I would even consider getting divorced, even though I'm very happily married, just to get remarried, to have them as groomsmen. That's how much they mean to me.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT. And I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself the kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. On the BetMGM Network.
The wonderful Football Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe, 15 days away from the Eagles against your Cowboys. How you feeling, my man?
Woo! Let's go. America's team in the spotlight once again. Against the team that won the Super Bowl. Whatever. It doesn't matter at all. That's, but I'm excited. I love the NFL season every time. Like, there's optimism, not as much for my team, but like just like in general. Like, it's like all of our opinions that we have, I think it's fun to kind of see those play out in real time. And I'll admit this too. Week one is probably the most nervous I am every single year. Because like we spend 6 months talking about this stuff of like, oh, I like this team, I hate this team, I like this player, I'm looking to fade this player. And then 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock West Coast time hits, and you're just like, God, I hope I'm right.
Yeah, and
I have
then,
a lot of money invested in these
and then Titans Bear. And then like I spend the entire offseason saying how you love the Titans in week one against the Bears. And Will Levis turns it over 9 times in stupefying fashion, and you lose.
Surrender Cobra from
it's
the quarterback.
On the field,
like,
during
the hell
a play.
Is going on?
While a play is happening, surrender, Cobra. Related story, the Titans took Cam Ward first overall in the NFL draft. Before we get to, and I'm so excited for this, to roll through, and this is going to be a Wednesday in-season content staple for us, as it's been for years, it moved. Talking, you know, that week's games in the National Football League. So we're going to talk all the games in week one here. As many as we get to this hour on the show. If not, we'll carry some over into tomorrow. But I did want to ask you this first, because I think we were talking about this a little bit off air yesterday. And I keep seeing people people in the NFL media that I follow. I've actually probably, I don't want to overstate it, maybe like 5 to 7 people have tweeted that the Jerry Jones Cowboys documentary on Netflix about the 90s Cowboys is like next level, better than The Last Dance. I actually think I'm going to start it tonight, and I'm going to watch it.
You should.
Have you watched
the first 4 episodes last night. So not the whole thing. Because there's 8 episodes. I'm halfway through. It's tremendous. It's really, really good. Now, like, I don't know if it's like as good as The Last Dance, because you have to put yourself back into like 2020 when we were starving for anything. But like, if it happened in that place and that Cowboys documentary hit then, I think it would be seen on like the same level. It's really good, really entertaining. I mean, like, they talked to a bunch of like the star guy, like obviously Emmett, Michael, Aikman, but then they also have Nate Newton, Charles Haley, who's of course a character. Everybody, if they're familiar with Charles Haley's background, like James Washington, the safety, like they had like a bunch of different guys all throughout. Our guy, Dave Wanstead, Wani, he's in it. And of course, Jimmy and Jerry are in it. And it's just really, really fun trip down memory lane for like you. I know you obviously were like a big 90s football fan. I grew up kind of more in like the latter portion of the decade, but it's a really fun time of year to kind of reminisce on and kind of see the preeminent franchise in the league back in their glory days and how it all came about when Jerry took over the team in 1989. But yeah, it's awesome. You should definitely, if you like football, like I'm a Cowboys fan, so I'm going to love it. But like, if you just like football or sports in general, you'll love the documentary.
Yeah. I love sports, so I'm going to watch it. I watched The Last Dance. It's just like, you know, when I think about, you know, The Last Dance and like those Bulls teams, I just think about like them just,
it's tough.
Like that, like, I mean, like they actually like ruined like portions of my childhood. Now the Cowboys beat the piss out of my Giants in that period. But, like, it never happened in the playoffs. Like, the closest one, and we talked about it with Emmett Smith on Radio Row at the Super Bowl, was the final game of the 93 season. Separated shoulder, destroys the Giants, wins in overtime. Dallas gets home field. The Giants end up losing in Phil Simms' final game to the Niners, 44-3. But it never happened in the playoffs. Man, like, I don't know if I'm still not really over 93. Knicks were the best team in 93. They would have beaten Charles Barkley and the Suns if they had made the finals. And, of course, here's Charles Smith under the basket, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, you know, that's
Smith,
a story for another
Smith,
time.
Smith, 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 Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, it's stiff. I cried after so many of those Knicks games in the 90s. The Ewing finger roll in 95 against Indiana was That one, I remember, like, well, that one, I was, like, I remember, like, aggressively crying. Like, just, like, tear, like, and I was angry, and, like, tears, like, pouring out of my face. Just, yeah, just really bad.
Aggressively one crying.
Like, aggressive tears. Yeah. Yeah. As opposed to, like,
to aggressive tears.
Like, as opposed to, like, I would like to drink Clorox tears, like, when the Giants blew the wild card game 38-14 against the Niners. Like, there's different stages of cry. There's fetal position cry, which was me going home from the wild card game in 97 against Minnesota, up 22-13 with 2 minutes to go and losing 23-22. That was fetal position in the backseat of my parents' Plymouth Voyager. There's aggressive crying, which was Knicks Pacers, and then when Jay Feely missed the kicks against Seattle in the 2006 regular season, which my sister
that
told
was when
me
your sister
afterwards.
Called you out. Yeah.
Yeah, she said you're 23 years old. I cried in 99, the Giants beat the Bills. Carrie Blanchard, they won 19-17. Carrie Blanchard hit like 4 or 5 field goals in the game, including the game winner. And Doug Flutie was the quarterback for the Bills. And it looked like Buffalo was going to win. And I was like crying because like I thought the Giants were going to lose. My grandfather, God rest his soul, turned to me and said, like, I don't actually remember what he said verbatim. It was something to the effect of like kid, like, you got to get it together, man. Like something to that effect.
It's tough, man. I've never cried because of my teams. Now, there have been, like, there's, of course, the losses where, like, you don't say a word for, like, 3 hours. There's been a couple of those where I'm just like nobody talked to me. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't even want to watch sports television. But, like, the last time I was truly, like, heartbroken because of the Dallas Cowboys was, like, the Dez catch game. Like, that's the last
time.
Like, I actually thought that – I legitimately thought that team was going to win the Super Bowl. Like, that's, like, the last time – like, the Dak-Zeke team, it was, like, they were so young. And it was, like, hey, this is, like, a magic carpet ride. Let's see how far they can take it. And Aaron Rodgers rips their hearts out. But, like, the Dez catch one, like, they had already beaten Seattle earlier that season. I was, like, oh, man, we're not scared to go up to Seattle. NFC title game. We'll beat Seattle again. Like, the Patriots, yeah, it's Brady, whatever. The way that Romo was playing that year, too, that was the best ball of his career. And, like, Deswin was in his peak. DeMarco Murray was humming along, won OPOY that season. That one, I was like, I don't want to talk to anyone. And I had to work later on that afternoon at my Fred Schmaltz job in Bend, Oregon. And that sucked.
I love it. And look, we don't have to, like, talk about the game, but, like, the Romo snap against Seattle was so bad that Bill Parcells retired.
Yeah.
Like, Parcells, like, when he retired, he literally said, like, I can't have this be where, like, you spend an entire year working on something, and then it comes down to that.
It's to that.
Like he literally,
now,
like,
now imagine. Now imagine me in high school with all my friends being Seahawks fans and going to school on that Monday.
Yeah, like
that,
tough, man.
That was not a fun experience.
That
was not fun at all.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's talk about another bad experience for you, which is going to be when the Eagles kill the Cowboys in the season opener. With the first,
Betty Markin might think otherwise.
Yeah, well, we'll see. With the first regular season edition, even though we're not in the regular season yet, a bit moved.
I think it moved. I think it moved. I think it moved.
It moved.
In August, does it? All right, we're going to try and get through as many games as we can. This is not going to be like super duper in-depth, and maybe it will be for some of them. And yeah, we don't even need the music because this isn't really like it moved. It's just like, hey, like, we want to talk about games. So just like the imaging. So
it's
we play.
Excuse.
Yeah. So we're going to give, we reserve the right, or I will reserve the right at least. I'll speak for Femi also.
We reserve
the right to change our minds. We're still 15 days out. Things can and will happen that will change our opinions. This is where we are at right now on the, like, if we had to bet them, what would we bet the side? Would we bet the total? Would it be a money line? Would we pass the game? Where we are at right now at this point in time on all the games in week one. Femi, let's start with the season opener in Philadelphia, Thursday night, September 4th, Eagles-Cowboys. We're at BetMGM, our show sponsor. The Eagles a full touchdown favorite, total 46.5. If you had to bet this game right now, what would you want to do and why?
My bet for sure in this betting market would be on the total, but I think the side, we might get an opportunity to bet this as well, because based on a couple of the sports books that I see around here in Las Vegas, there's some 6.5s that are populating. There's clearly interest in the Dallas Cowboys from who? I don't know, but there's some interest here. Anything under 7 is a bet on the Eagles. Even at 7, I think I kind of like the Eagles. I don't know how Dallas is getting a stop in this game. That Cowboys defense is so bad. The over, I feel like, is way good. I'm surprised it's still sitting here at 46. Now, maybe the Philly pass rush just dominates the Dallas offensive line, so the Cowboys can't get anything going. But I think the Cowboys' O-line will be good enough with the passing game with Dak and Lamb and Pickens to be able to at least generate, like, what, 20 points in the game? And then Philly, I mean, why can't this be a 40 spot for the Eagles? Honestly. Like, with the way Dallas is playing run defense these days, like, it's really bad. And if Micah Parsons is, hey, like, he showed up the Wednesday before the game starts, or not the Wednesday since it's a Thursday night game, but let's say he shows up like the Sunday before or the Monday before the game, maybe he's on a little bit of a pitch count. It's not the full Micah Parsons experience. I think Dallas is going to struggle mightily to get stopped. So maybe Eagles team total is a great bet, but for me, for sure, the total on the over, and I do like the Philadelphia Eagles. I think I'll be end up laying the points. Let's see what the injury report looks like, but I think the Eagles are pretty good here at these prices.
Yeah, it's just, I the over is a strong look. I wonder if that's going to keep going up, Femi. Like, will it go up to 47, which is, yeah. Like, I'd imagine that it's going to go up, and I've been saying this offseason that I think if you wanted to poke holes in the Eagles, like, you'd look at the defense. They lost a good amount, mm-hmm. like a lot of Super Bowl champions do, right? Still have good players, obviously. I've got concerns about the secondary. Like, who's the number two corner opposite Quinyon Mitchell? Like, is it Ja'Corian Bennett? They just brought over in a trade from the Raiders. Like, is it Ringo? Is it Adoree Jackson? Like, I think, like, George Pickens should be able to eat against one of these guys, and like CeeDee Lamb should be able to do well also. Let's see the health of the Cowboys offensive line. I do like Dallas's offense to score some points. To your point, man, I don't know how this isn't like 150 yards for Saquon Barkley, like right off the bat.
Yeah.
Now let's see about the health of the Eagles offensive line, like the interior. Like, let's see about that. But I'm with you on the Eagles here. I think if I had to take the side, I'd lay Philly, but I will join you, I think, on the over. Not yet. But that's where Femi and I are both at right now, would be over 46.5. All right. Friday night in Brazil.
Ooh.
Game on YouTube. We're excited for that, are we? The Chiefs, almost out to at BetMGM, a 3.5-point favorite against the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, this number was like a juiced 2.5 the entire offseason for the Chiefs, and then Rashawn Slater's lost for the year, and immediately the Chiefs get bet. Femi, we're almost at 3.5 for the Chiefs against the Chargers. Total 45.5. Remember, this is a neutral site game. Technically a Chargers home game, but obviously the game is being played in Brazil. What would you do right now if you had to do something, Chiefs and Chargers?
I think for me at 3.5, it's a bet on the Chargers. And there are a couple of those out there. I think BetMGM is maybe at some point, like next week or the game week, we get there with 3.5. And even it might be heavily juiced towards LA. Maybe you have to lay -120 or -115. But I think getting the hook is important in this game. I think this will be a lower scoring game relative to what we saw last year in Brazil. Now, if the field surface is going to be really bad, maybe things get off the rails. I don't know. But just based on how these two teams play, Chargers a little bit more conservative. Chiefs, they talk about wanting to be a lot more explosive, but they also talked about that last year as well. And guess what it was? It was dink and dunk down the field. Mahomes just managed the game and the defense will bring us home. I think this Chargers defense is still really good. I think this is a lower scoring game. I like grabbing the points with Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. That's still a dominant head coach and quarterback combination here. So for me, I think it's Chargers +3.5, and I'm going to leave the total alone just because it's hard to predict what the surface is going to be like out there in Brazil.
Man, I respect you for kind of like you've been saying for months now that you were going to like the Chargers in week one. Obviously, the price has changed because the injury that the Chargers suffered, a huge one to Slater. Joe Walt goes to the left side. Trey Pipkin's going to play right tackle for the Bolts. At current price, man, what I'm trying to decide is, I think I'd lay 3.5 with Kansas City.
Yeah.
I'd consider it. Yeah, I love the Chiefs in this game. Like, love Kansas City.
Yeah.
I think they're a pretty good amount better than the Chargers. And I'll say, so if someone wants to construct a bull case for the Chargers this year, like, you're going to need, like, Trey Harris and KLS to both be pretty good at the receiver position. I think it's more likely that happens later in the season than it happens in week one against Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense. So I'm going to be looking for ways to play the Chiefs week one in Brazil against the Los Angeles Chargers. On the other side, Femi and I turn our attention to week one NFL Sunday, September 7th, and we will start in the Big Easy with the quarterback-less New Orleans Saints against my Arizona Cardinals.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas.
Pressure coming, got away from Burse. Still on the move, still on his feet, throws to the end zone. It is caught by Elijah Higgins for the touchdown. Magic from Murray.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew. Presented by BetMGM.
Fox Sports, courtesy of the call. It's a good call. Magic from Murray, a little alliteration. I don't know if, like, Elijah Higgins would have been my... I don't know if Elijah Higgins would have been my first choice as, like, the touchdown recipient. But, hey, Trey McBride didn't catch any last year, so I might as well go with another tight end. Exaggerating slightly. All right, let's continue, Femi, breaking down week one in the NFL. 15 days out. Here's where we stand. Pencil, not pen, for our betting thoughts for week one. Let's go to the Big Easy, where we still don't know who the Saints' starting quarterback will be. Kellen Moore just announced at Saints training camp, like, moments ago. It's Wednesday, 5:21 p.m. Eastern time, August 20th, that both Tyler Shuck, obviously, and Spencer Rattler will play in the third preseason game, and presumably Kellen Moore will make the decision after that game. So we don't know who it's going to be yet. Arizona, a six-point road favorite at New Orleans. Femi, totals 42.5. It looks like the six could drop down to 5.5. What do you think about Cardinal Saints?
Yeah, I'm curious to see, like, this is just waiting on who the starter is going to be. Like, if it's Shuck, is it for sure going to stay at six? And if it's Rattler, do the sixes get bought? If it's Rattler, I will bet the Saints plus six. Like, and this is, I'm just, like, right on market with Arizona, like, how I think about this team. Like, I know there's, like, you were making the bull case in the last hour about the Cardinals potentially being a playoff team and being a team that replaces one of the teams that made it from last year. I just think that they're just a middle-of-the-road football team, and the betting market has them at that with a win total of 8.5. I'm just kind of right online. And New Orleans, I think, is probably the worst team in the league, but six in week one in an early window kickoff, like, we see weird results all the time in week one. I'll back the home dog, especially with a really good home field advantage. Now, I mean, are the fans going to be super excited for this season? Probably not. Like, I follow a couple Saints fans on Twitter. Everyone just seems like the sky is falling and they're all depressed about their team. But it's a football game. I think people will be pretty fired up. So I'll take the six. As long as it's six minus 110. BetMGM is minus 115. There are some minus 110s elsewhere. But I'll take the six with the Saints and just plug my nose and watch this game in the first window.
I said, you know, a couple months ago when week one schedule was announced and the line started to populate at BetMGM, what was this? It was 4.5. It was like, this ain't closing four, everybody. The time was then to bet Arizona. I think it's probably just a pass at this number. If I had to, I would only lay Arizona. I think this could be like bloodbath potentially. For now, I think it's probably a pass. Need to think a little bit more about it. But it's Arizona. This is lay it or don't play it for me with Arizona on the road in New Orleans. Just like, do I want to lay six when we could have laid four? Maybe not. But I would not bet New Orleans in this game.
Survivor play? Arizona?
Oh, so that's a different question.
Survivor. Which, like, we're doing that again this season. Like this is... I just got to run down to the place to go ahead and sign up, but I mean, like, they're in the conversation, I don't know if that's what I would want to do if I just had sole control of it, but you know, this is a democracy. We're going to give everybody a voice here. But there at least have to be on the list of teams you'd consider for week one.
New England. You were not going to like it, but New England. I think New England's going to beat the Raiders.
I can't get there. There's another. I think we'll eventually get to one that I think is a little bit spicy, but I don't think I can get there on New England.
All right. Well, we'll move on to the Bucs and the Falcons in Atlanta, where Tampa is a 1.5-point road favorite. Like, obviously, a massive game in the NFC South in week one. Totals pretty high, 48.5, but two pretty explosive offenses, right? So Tampa, like Tristan Wirfs, like, well, we'll see what the official designation for him is going to be, but extremely unlikely to play at the beginning of the season. Like, they're all-world left tackle. Jalen McMillan is going to start the season on IR, maybe miss the first half of the year. Chris Godwin may not play the first month of the season. This is like Deck starting to stack a little bit against Tampa Bay now. The Falcons today suffered a couple offensive line injuries. Caleb McGarry was carted out of practice. We don't have word on his injury yet. Storm Norton, one of their backup offensive linemen, going to miss like up to 2 months with an injury. So some injury stuff going on with both teams here. Femi, do you have a betting thought right now? And you can pass if you want. Tampa and Atlanta.
Yeah, not a strong opinion, but I will say this. I'm passing the side. The total, though, is very interesting. And I'll give a hat tip to our guy, Ken Barkley, but Lockie Lockerson. Who's to be on the show here. And he put me hip to this one. I think a lot of people have started to now take this and kind of like use this kind of betting angle in week one. But like teams that don't play their quarterbacks in the preseason, like Raheem Morris has been adamant about not playing Michael Penix Jr. He's not going to play this weekend.
And by the way, Femi, just to even take that a step further, like it's not just Penix that isn't playing. Kirk Cousins also hasn't taken a snap in the preseason.
Exactly.
For Atlanta.
Bubble wrap for both guys. We've seen Penix play 3 games. I feel like he could have got some reps, but I'm also not an NFL head coach. I think this might be a contrarian under. I'm not there yet. Let's see what the injury report looks like. If McGarry's situation's bad and the Bucs offensive line is a little bit banged up, and now the Falcons offensive line gets a little bit banged up, young quarterback, didn't play in the preseason. I think right now I'm leaning under, but let's get some more information later.
I'll tell you what, man. These Tampa injuries are like nothing to sneeze at.
No, they're legit.
I might like the Falcons. Oh. I might like the Falcons. Not ready to go there yet, but I'm so in on this Falcons offense. And at some point, maybe today, I had a plan to do today, and then like I liked the stuff I was doing in the first hour, and like ended up like it was a little longer than I thought. I thought it was good, but you know, whatever. I've got my top 12, and I'll give like a little spoiler now. I have 2 Falcons in my top 12 in fantasy this year in half point PPR.
Oh baby,
I love this. I love this offense, and I think Tampa's better than Atlanta, but Tampa's also like not what it's going to be like even midway through the season. I'm leaning towards Atlanta right now in week one, even if I think Tampa's better when they're both fully formed. Tampa's not fully formed just yet. Mm. Leaning towards the Atlanta Falcons.
Is Tampa going to get off to a rough start? Like, their schedule's not easy in the beginning.
So here's, hold on, I have it here. So Tampa schedule, at Atlanta, at Houston, home Jets, home Eagles, at Seattle, home Niners, at Detroit, and then at New Orleans into the bye week. It's not the most impossible schedule, but it's also not the easiest schedule.
No. Yeah, like you can see them like 500 or maybe like a game below 500 heading into the bye week, and then like we can potentially buy in on the Bucs to win the South or whatever. Let's see what the other teams are doing in the division. But yeah, I think this Bucs team, if you're looking to buy, I think you can kind of pump the brakes and maybe wait a few games at least into this regular season.
All right, moving on. The Expansion Bowl. Jaguars hosting the Carolina Panthers. Jacksonville, Femi, is a juiced 2.5-point favorite. We're very close to being at a full 3. Total in this one is 46.5.
Yeah, I think we're going to be 3, like, probably next week. Like, there's 3s at many places here in Las Vegas. BetMGM right now with that juice 2.5. It's a bet on Jacksonville. Anything under a field goal is a bet on Jacksonville. And honestly, at 3 even money, if you can find like a cheap 3, I still think that's a bet on Jacksonville. This is actually like the game that I think we might need to consider for Survivor. Jacksonville. Like right off the top.
You know, I don't know, man. Because like, dude, their defense sucks. And like, I don't like, I don't like Carolina. I like Jacksonville also in the game, to it for sure. So we agree. Like, this, dude, this could be like 38-35, and we could end up on the losing end.
Hold on to your ass, man. If sometimes you got to roll the dice.
No, like I think New England is way more. I like the Patriots way more than the Jaguars in Week One to win.
I just at home, unfamiliar opponent. This is the setup. Like, I just think that the Jacksonville offense, like where they're deficient, is at the offensive line. I don't think Carolina can take advantage of that. Now, if they make a trade for Trey Hendrickson, then maybe they can. But like Derrick Brown in the interior, awesome defensive tackle. Double him. Who's getting to the quarterback? Like, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to put up a lot of points, but maybe Carolina's offense is a little bit frisky as well. But yeah, for me, just from a betting standpoint, survivor stuff aside, it's Jacksonville under a field goal. But even at a three, if it's a cheap three, I'll lay it as well.
And the Panthers have like a rookie defensive end that I've been excited for. I actually have him in a couple dynasty leagues with individual defensive players, IDP. And I butcher his name, Princely. I don't even want to like.
Oh, yeah. I forget. We talked about this kid.
Umanamalen.
A couple months ago. Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Hold on. Princely. Umanamalen, I believe. Umanamalen.
Close enough.
He's Nigerian. Like, yeah, you should be able, like this is, if you can't do this, this is like me not being able to pronounce Papadopoulos.
I ain't never seen it like that before. I'm just being honest.
All right. All right.
I use it when it ends in a vowel, I got you. But when it ends in a consonant, it's, you know, it throws me off a little bit.
I love it. Anyway, like, he hasn't looked great by all. I'm not grinding the film. Just saying. Like, does not look great. Dude, I think the over is the look in this game as long as it's below 47. Like, I like Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's going to win, but, man, like, both defenses are bad. And, like, I'm bullish on, like, I love the Jaguars' offense. Bryce Young can absolutely carve up this Jaguars' defense. So, over, if I had to bet the side, I would lay Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we're going to be oppo on this game, which is the Bengals 5.5-point road favorites at Cleveland. Totals 45.5. So we talked about it yesterday on the show that Denzel Ward got hurt at Browns practice with a shoulder injury. I think the official designation from the team is day-to-day, so it feels like he's going to be good for Week One. I think the Bengals are going to wreck Cleveland's world here. I think I'm going to end up laying Cincinnati in this game.
I don't think the Bengals are capable of wrecking anyone's world. Not with the defense that we saw last year, not with the defense that we've seen thus far in the preseason. Now, I know they're saying, hey, like, we're not showing everything and this and that. It's like, all right, great. Show us your best stuff. It's probably still not going to be impressive. Like, I just don't believe this defense can pull away from teams. Burrow and those guys are going to put up points because they always do. But in this particular matchup, I know they've started fast in other years or whatever. They've been out there in the preseason trying to start fast this year. But in this particular matchup, this one has given them a lot of problems with Myles Garrett and what he can do at edge rusher. He can destroy this game against that bad Bengals offensive line. I actually like the home team. Like, I'm going to wait because I think we're going to actually get to six. There's a six right now at a pretty sharp sports book here in Vegas. Like, I think this is going to end up being six once we get to game week, and I will be there to bet the Cleveland Browns with Joe Flacco. I'll be wacko Week One. I think the Browns keep this competitive and maybe even pull off the upset.
Oh, man. So, but Femi is right about one thing for sure, no matter what side of the game you fall on. If you like Cleveland, wait for six. If you like Cincinnati, lay a number below six. I think we'll be opposite on this game. Again, we're at pencil, not pen right now, with still 15 days to go until Week One. You've heard of the Super Bowl. This is the Toilet Bowl. Two teams that we are very against this year on You Better You Bet. Unfortunately, one of them's got to win. And that is Danny Dimes and the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, a tie would be funny. Hosting, in which case the Dolphins would cover. Hosting Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins. Indy, a 1.5-point home favorite. Total 46.5. And basically what this means is that the betting market thinks Miami's better than Indianapolis. Colts have a good home field, which gets them to be a small favorite in the game. I just think that's the stuff like that's just interesting to mention. What do you think about the Colts and the Dolphins, Femi, in the You Better You Bet Toilet Bowl this in Week One?
Yeah, Toilet Bowl, Hot Seat Bowl, had to issue a statement saying the coach is coming back bowl. Like, these two teams are just bad. If I had to bet the game, small lean to the Dolphins at plus money. I think this should be, like, right at pick as a coin flip. And right now, if we're going to say it's 1.5, if I can get even money, Maybe that's how I'd play it, but like not a whole lot of interest. I want to fade both these teams. Hard to do that when they're facing each other. So I think I'm probably just going to pass the game.
I really wanted to bet Indianapolis.
But why?
It's a really strong follow-up question. If Anthony Richardson had won the job and they were like, we're so impressed with what he's done, like I would love to bet the Colts here. Like I'm not doing it with Daniel. I actually think Miami's gonna win.
Yeah. You're all the Dolphins pass rushers against Daniel Jones, who's dying to fumble the football.
Yeah. You know what, let's move on. You know what? The total's 46.5. Feels like, does that feel a little high or a little low to you?
I don't know what to expect with the Colts offense. I think Miami's offense could be okay. It's usually pretty solid early in the season. I think we're probably just right at 46.5. I don't really have a strong feeling either way.
I think it might be over.
It's indoors. You get perfect conditions.
Colts should sign.
Open the roof, at least it's sunny outside.
I liked the Xavien Howard signing for Miami, for Indianapolis, excuse me, the former Dolphin, because they need some cornerback depth. I mean, if Tua gets even a little bit time to throw, like I think they're gonna score. They're gonna score some points. And on the flip side, like I like the Colts offensive line. And if you can hold up, this is gonna be, we're gonna talk about this all season when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. If you can block their front, like even with a modicum of success, and the quarterback has some time to stand in the pocket, they're the worst secondary in the league. Here's Josh Downs and A.D. Mitchell and Michael Pittman and Tyler Warren. I might like the over. I might like the over with the Colts and the Dolphins. Do you want to do like any other games, or you want to go to college football next?
Let's finish the early window, and then we can save the late window and the primetime games for tomorrow.
Sounds good. On the other side, a couple more games for Week 1 in the NFL. Then we'll talk the SEC, and the first game we discuss will be Jaden Daniels and the Commanders against my New York Football Giants.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew. Presented by BetMGM.
All right, we'll break down the SEC in a little bit in college football. Week 0 bets coming up tomorrow on the show in college football. But for now, let's hit a couple more games Week 1 in the NFL. We will do the 4 o'clock Eastern time slate and the primetime game Sunday night and Monday night tomorrow. I am developing a strong opinion on Ravens-Bills. Sunday Night Football Week 1.
You and the betting market.
What's the betting market saying right now?
It's a movement. I mean, it's like there's a shop in Vegas that has it at pick. Some Ravens money came in.
I think the Ravens might kill them.
There's a chance. I mean, they killed them last year in the regular season. As long as it's not in January, the Ravens usually kill everyone outside of Kansas City.
Right? So. Yeah. All right. We'll save that analysis for tomorrow on the show. Femi, three more games for us to hit now then. The Washington Commanders, in between a 6.5 and a 7-point home favorite against my New York Football Giants, total 45.5. I know a lot of people are talking about maybe Jackson Dart could start Week 1. I think we need to operate as if Russell Wilson's the starting quarterback here for my team.
I'm actually going to go with the under in this game. I think Giants unders are going to be really, really strong this year. They have a very conservative quarterback with Russell Wilson if he's the Week 1 starter, which we all believe he will be. And I think right now, like this Giants defense, they have the potential to give teams absolute hell with their pass rush. Like that is a hellacious pass rush with Abdul Carter and Burns and Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, et cetera, et cetera. We all know the guys. We're all familiar with their game. The side, I think we're probably just right. Like there's actually a lot of sixes in Vegas. So like BetMGM has one of the few 6.5s that's available. Like the betting market has been liking the Giants. I don't know if that's the preseason bullishness and what we've seen from Jackson Dart that's buying into that, or just general appetite to bet this team, given the fact that the defense might be really good. But there's a lot of interest on New York right now. And I think right now, if we're at 6.5 or 6, we're probably just right. But at 7, yeah, I'd bet the Giants. But those days are long gone from earlier this offseason. But I like the under at under 45.5, or if you can find better in other places in the market.
We can move past this one. This is kind of like, and look, like, just because I was right about where the line was going, does not mean that the bet's going to win. It's like the best laid plans of mice and men. It doesn't have to go that way, right? But I said a couple months ago, and I think, Femi, you did too, that 7's just like, no way.
Yeah, it was too much.
Like, Giants 7 was the bet. And if it's still, you can still find one, I think that that's a good bet. Anything less than that would be uncivilized. That's a reference to a commercial from the late 80s, early 90s that no one probably gets except for Bill. So for
like
now...
the total?
No. Not yet.
I don't really see this game getting loose. I don't think it gets wide open like that.
45 and a half, like, you don't need loose. You get 24-23.
You just need moderate. Yeah, you just need moderate. I might just be very down on Russell Wilson. I just imagine him just taking sacks all the time. And it's a field position game. And even the brilliance of Jaden Daniels.
Can we see if Andrew Thomas is playing in week one? Can we see if Andrew Thomas is playing?
Yeah. I mean, earlier this week was a really good step, but still got some other steps to go.
Yes, we don't know if he's playing in week one. How about this? We'll move the last note here. If Andrew Thomas doesn't play, what do you think it closes?
6.5.
I actually think it might
be 7.
I think it should close 7 if he doesn't play. But we can have that conversation as he makes the offensive line, if he's healthy and he's right, he makes it passable. Yeah. If he's not there, this is like the worst or second worst or third worst offensive line in the league. And I don't know if there's even a debate to be had about that, if he's not there. All right. From one New York team to another, and they all both play in New Jersey. The Aaron Rodgers Bowl, the Justin Fields Bowl, however you want to call it. The Steelers visiting the New York Jets. Steelers in between, Femi, a 3 and 3.5 point road favorite at BetMGM. The total, a sky high, 38.5.
Yeah, I do think there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period with Rodgers and Arthur Smith. I know they've been practicing, but like, let's just remember this offseason, Aaron Rodgers didn't get there until mini camp, I believe it was, when he finally showed up. And then that was only 3 days and they got into training camp. I think it's going to take some time for those two guys to mesh. I like the under quite a bit. Like, I know this is very low and it's been bet under throughout the offseason from 39.5 to 38.5. I don't think it's low enough. Like this to me feels like it's like 17-14, 17-10. Something like that. Like, this is going to be like your absolute lowest scoring game of week one. And that's why it's priced that way, but it's not priced in enough. Give me the under for everything between the Steelers and the Jets.
I'd love to make a case on why that's not going to happen, but it feels pretty good on the under there. So I'm not going to disagree with you. I wonder, I actually think that the Jets are going to get bet as we approach kickoff. Like, I don't think this is going to close 3.5. I think this might close in between 2.5 and 3. I think the Jets are going to get bet.
2.5 heavily juiced or 3 even money on the Steelers side.
Yeah. And I like Pittsburgh a lot.
I mean, especially under 3. If it's under 3, I like Pittsburgh.
I'll lay 3 with the Steelers, -110 if I have to. And I will admit to everybody, hey, sometimes I'm like, hey, I think we have a potential edge here. I think the spread is wrong. No, I don't think this is probably right. I like Aaron Rodgers and I want him to beat the Jets. So just being honest with everybody. I'm going to bet this because I'm gonna be rooting for the Steelers in that game. Like, it's like game 7 of the World Series, like Yankees against the Mets. Oh yeah. Give me the Steelers. And you know what? We'll save Patriots Raiders for tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
So we'll do a little
Steelers Jets. It's gonna get the main TV in the Costos household. The Giants game will be on an iPad.
Can't wait. We'll get to the SEC in a second, but we want to remind all our listeners and viewers that no matter where the action is, we're going to supercharge the odds on your next sports bet. Use an odds boost token to boost your potential payout from a winning bet. So I got to log into your BetMGM account, use the odds boost token, make it legendary with BetMGM, and as always, please gamble responsibly. You better you bet on this Wednesday. All right, let's give some thoughts here, Femi, on the SEC. We'll give our week 0 bets tomorrow on the show. So title odds in the Southeastern Conference, so national championship. Texas is the favorite, period, at +450. Georgia is 7. Alabama, 10. LSU, 14. Ole Miss and Florida 25, A&M 30, Tennessee 40. As an aside, Nico Iamaliava will not be the starting quarterback for UCLA to begin the season. He was beaten out. It's like, what are we doing here?
Wow, that's insane.
It is. A listener sent that to me. I was like, I couldn't even believe it. I'm also like, I said this to Femi on the phone earlier. Look, like, you can't know who the sixth wide receiver on the Tennessee Titans is and also be up on every training camp battle in college football. There just aren't enough hours in the day. SEC prices, Texas plus 275, Georgia plus 320, Bama 4, LSU 7, A&M 14, Ole Miss 17, so on and so forth. Femi, what are your big picture thoughts on the SEC this season, either conference, title, playoff, etc.?
Yeah, I think there's like three teams that are pretty clear cut above the rest. That's the Texas, Georgia, Alabama group. Texas, I think, is a rightful favorite. And I say that with Arch Manning kind of being sight unseen. We've only seen him play against bad teams and kind of mop up duty. I think they're just the way that they have built their defensive line and even the offensive line as well, but specifically on defense. It's going to be a nasty, nasty defense. Like, Sark has really done a great job recruiting, bringing guys in, and they've proven that they can handle the rigors of the SEC. So I think they're a rightful favorite. I think Georgia, of course, has to be in the conversation. If you want to bet it, maybe it's a small bet on Alabama at 4-1 playing into the upside of a Ty Simpson, because I truly believe, like, I don't think the Kalen DeBoer, Jalen Milroe marriage was one that made sense. Like, Milroe is not like your traditional pocket passing kind of guy. Like, he's not your sort of like, hey, I'm going to stay in structure. He's an athlete. He's a dynamic athlete at that too. But like, it would never really fit. But you know, what was Kalen DeBoer going to do in his first year at Alabama? I do think he has his guy now with Ty Simpson. So if you wanted to bet the conference, 4-1 would be how I would do it. But here's a team that I want to bet. I think this team is like a dark horse team that not enough people are talking about in the SEC. And it's actually the place where Nico Iamaliava used to play. It's Rocky Ooh, okay. Top with the Tennessee Volunteers.
I thought you were going to say something else there. I'm curious your thought. Oh, I thought no. you were going to say Florida because of DJ Lagway. Why do you like Tennessee?
I got some thoughts on Florida. But Tennessee, I like them quite a bit because I think Josh Heupel is a really good coach. Nico losing the job at UCLA, which is wild, but also like I think Heupel, it just speaks to how good his system is. Like, Nico was able to thrive in that system. Hendon Hooker, has anybody been watching the NFL preseason? How he's been looking? He was thriving in that system. This is a quarterback agnostic system. And I think this Joey Aguilar, who they just got from UCLA, by the way, in the little trade with Nico Iamaliava, I think he can succeed. And the schedule is pretty manageable, too. Like, their toughest road games, it's Bama and Florida. I think they can beat Florida. Tennessee can go ahead and take care of Florida. Bama, that'll be tough. But then the tough home games, Georgia, and then Oklahoma is the other ranked opponent that they play at home. They're better than Oklahoma. Georgia can probably beat them because the Bulldogs are really good. But as long as they don't kind of stub their toe in the SEC, like, it's a very manageable schedule. They could be 10-2 and a potential playoff team. So I like the win total over 8.5 at plus 130. I like them to make the CFP at plus 270. Like, that's the team. It'll be Tennessee and Ole Miss, in my opinion, who are jockeying for that final fourth spot from the SEC. But I do believe that Tennessee has as good a chance as anybody to be the dark horse in that conference.
So I think we actually, for the first time in You Better You Bet history, we may have gotten got by a fake account. Apparently the thing is fake. But like, to be fair, like, I think Max Duncan is the... So like, we got that wrong. I've been doing the show for 6 years. I got it wrong too. We've never gotten stuff like that wrong before, gotten duped. So we got duped. That happened. To be fair, because I searched this on Twitter, like, Max Duncan, I think, is the other quarterback, has been taking first team reps along with Nico. So, okay. Like, it's not like this completely came out of nowhere, but we have that wrong. Like, Nico is going to be the quarterback for UCLA to start the year. So we got that wrong. Apologies. Just letting everybody know, like, Nico is slated to start for UCLA in week one. We think. Unless we're getting God again. So apologies, everybody. That kind of took us off track a little bit. I have a bunch of SEC betting thoughts. Maybe we do it at the end of the show.
Yeah.
I said yesterday, I'm betting Ohio State against Texas in week one. I'm looking forward to that. I'm liking the Florida Gators the more I think about it. If it's true that DJ Lagway's upside is to be the best quarterback in the country, why wouldn't we be into Florida at long prices to potentially do great things? We'll talk more about it coming up next hour and tomorrow on the show. Power Hour, final hour on the other side. Two great guests will join us. Evan Silva, second. First, Aaron Taylor, college football analyst for CBS.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas.